from the time that they pronounced me dead was a good 45 minutes.
They cut my clothes and then they paddled my heart because my heart had stopped. And I could see people screaming and crying, but I didn't realize that was actually my physical body because I was somewhere else.
The only thing that I could feel, if you can imagine, absolute love and peace. There wasn't anything else to be felt.
I was greeted by people I had known in the past.
I'm back home again.
Incredibly safe and felt at home.
Welcome, welcome to Round Trip Death, everybody. We have an awesome guest on today, but I'm going to keep you in suspense for a second because before I introduce Greg, I want to just say this is going to be unusual because some people don't believe near-death experiences because who is there to verify that it happened? How can you prove that it really happened? Well, today you're actually going to hear some of that proof about Greg's experience. So tell us a little bit about you, Greg. Hi.
Hi, Eric. Thanks for that kind introduction. If I were to tell people a little bit about me, all I can say is, for me, the certain things that happened in my life when I was really young were just really strange. There was nobody to really help me through any of that process. And that process has affected me my entire life, who made me who I am today, which is, it's a huge part of me. It wasn't a fun thing, by the way, I guess I should clarify that. So, yeah, I think if I were to just tell people what I'm all about or who I am, you know, I'm just a person that really just cares about people. I've just always been that way since I was little. I believe that everybody's really that way in the end, but it's just something that was always important to me. I always loved people. I still do. I'm a sensitive person. It makes me sad, to be quite honest. You know, some of the things, like we were talking before we started recording, we were talking about comments that people make. It's very sad, to be quite honest with you too. I actually get sad for them because I don't think people realize by spending time on the other side like I have, when people do cruel things, I don't think they understand what they're doing because they're going to create a whole lot of pain for themselves. That's the thing that they're eventually going to encounter when they eventually leave this plane. So I actually feel compassion for them. I feel bad for them. And I'm saddened by it rather than getting angry about it. In the past, yeah, I used to get angry about some things, but it's more sadness for them and sadness for the world. But this is all part of the process that we are going through as humanity. And I know that we're going to grow out of it. And I know that we're going to be going through tumultuous times. And it's just the way that it is. But also another thing about me that I learned the hard way is I care a lot about health. You know, this body, I really believe, just like the ancient scriptures say, this body is the temple of God. This is where he resides. This is his home. And so I believe that we need to respect it. And I believe that there is a very evil power out there that is actually on purpose trying to harm this body. That's why we see things in the water. That's why we see things in the air. That's why we see things in the food, even our medicine sometimes. And I'm not here to make any medical claims, right? And I'm not going to name any products or nothing like that. I'm just saying, to me, it's pretty obvious that something is happening in it. And I just saw the latest statistics because, by the way, I worked in the medical field for a little over 2 decades. And so I follow a lot of the trends. And right now, the trends for people getting sick is so high. I mean, it's astronomically high. We've never seen anything like it, including children, which is very sad. But this is all part of the plan. This is part of the evil plan. And they're saying that in the next 5 years that our cancer rates are going to double. This is not an accident. And so I try to educate now that I've been through it myself. And that's a whole other aspect. But I really think, Eric, that the connection between spirituality and actual health, like physical health, life, they have a lot to do with each other. That's why when you see people like, even like the stories of Jesus, what did he really go do? He went around preaching the truth and he went around healing people from illness. I mean, these are the two pivotal points, and it's really important. And even in front of the hospitals, this is a very kind of almost, dare I say, big secret that nobody's noticed. I have a lot of stuff that I know now because of the information that's given to me. In front of hospitals, there's a symbol that hospitals use. The symbol they use is actually the symbol for the real tree of life. So they're trying to tell you, we're in charge of your life. You know, meaning we tell you what's good for you. And all this is by design. I mean, this is all around this, and I'm not a big conspiracy guy or anything. I'm actually, if people want to know my personality, I'm actually a huge skeptic, and it's really hard for me to believe certain things. And I have to verify whether it's with science, common sense, critical thinking, ancient history, ancient scripture. So there's a lot of things. It's really hard to convince me of something. I really have to have good data to really believe stuff that gets a little wacky, which we're going to be touching on some of that today. So,
well, I appreciate that. And I'm in agreement about the relationship between physical body and spiritual self. Okay, these things are interrelated, something I don't understand very well, but it is an important part of our journey here, certainly. All right, let's focus on near-death experience. Normally at this point, I would say, okay, it happened to you here. Tell me what happened that day that led up to it. But for you, there was a lead up of quite a few years before your overdose that we're going to talk about. So if you could briefly get into some of that history, not too much, and then let's get to what really happened on that big day.
So the simple fact is when I was around 7 or 8 years old, I had something very strange happen to me. Obviously, I'm not going to go into details because it would be a little too long. All I can say is that I was actually just playing with toys by myself in my room, like a little kid would do. Something kind of spoke to me. And what was speaking to me was showing me images. It was showing me like war. I saw tanks. I saw kids screaming and running. I saw a lot of pain and suffering, and it was horrible. And I could feel it in my soul. So it wasn't just a vision. It was a vision with emotion, like almost like I could feel the people's pain. I was very confused by this, if you can imagine that. I mean, I'm just a kid and I didn't understand it. And so I had this conversation with this quote unquote, dare I say, kind of entity, I guess you could call it. And we had a little conversation about the pain of the world, the suffering, different things like this. And I basically tried to kind of brush it off. And, you know, I'm just a little kid playing toys, but it was confusing to me. I always remembered it. It has a lot to do with the pain of the world is actually in all of us. All the pain that people create to each other, because we're all one in the end. So somewhere buried deep down inside of us, anything we do to another is being done unto us. I think in ancient scripture, I think Jesus said it, you know, I can't remember the verse exactly, but it's something like, as you do unto others, you do unto yourself, or as you do unto God, you do unto yourself, something like that. But the simple fact is that's, I've seen it. It's really that simple. And so obviously that's why scripture say, love your neighbor as yourself. It's pretty basic, but there's a deep wisdom in it. And so that's kind of how the beginning of this happened. Within months, I started feeling a great deal of pain and suffering in my soul. There's nothing wrong with me physically. I was totally a healthy child, but I had this pain and it felt like just suffering in my soul and I couldn't explain it. And it was really heavy and it affected me a great deal. It affected me for so long that I started feeling just extremely sad, depressed. It was wearing me down. And it was so extreme. It wasn't just like the pain of one person or two people or 10 people. It felt like in the millions, it was too much, way too much. Unfortunately, I became very, you know, I wanted to end my life. It was too painful and it just got too heavy. So by the time I was about 10 years old, I believe, that was when the first time I attempted to do that. And sadly, every time I would try, because I tried many times, I would poison myself. You know, this is something that I was trying to do. And to kind of skip over a little bit, a lot of that stuff, because then there was a lot of confusion. My parents were confused, like, why is this happening to my child? Because I had really good parents, I had a good family, nothing bad, you know, had happened. So after all this, fast forwarding, after attempting many times and failing every time, by the time I was 18 years old, I was like, this is ridiculous. I keep trying. I keep failing. I've seen all the psychologists and psychiatrists and tried their silly pharmaceuticals that they think I have a chemical imbalance. It had nothing to do with that. And I always knew in my heart of hearts that it didn't have anything to do with that. But I was in so much pain for living all those years that way that one day I just decided to take as many pills as I possibly could. I lined them up. You know, I got these Costco bottles and, you know, ibuprofen and Tylenol and Excedrin and whatever pharmaceutical I could find in the cupboard. And they had prescribed me also, and I just lined them up and I just started taking them by the handful. I was in a lot of pain. I was crying as I was doing that. And this was like my last attempt. I was like, I have to do something so extreme because I keep surviving. And so I tried to put down 1,000 pills. I didn't reach 1,000, but I did. I was pretty close. It was about 800 and, you know, 30 something odd pills. But it was just shy of 1,000. And I always remember reading on the bottles, don't ever take this stuff with alcohol. So what did I do? I took it with alcohol. You know, I was trying to do everything that I could. It's really stupid. Do I regret it? I regret it a great deal because I just, knowing what I know now, I just would never want to hurt. I wouldn't want to hurt anybody, of course. I wouldn't want to hurt myself, of course, but doing, it's a disrespect. You know, that's what it feels like to me. It's disrespectful to God to harm the very gift that we have. It's disrespectful. I regret what I've done very much. And if anything good can come out of it, that's the important part.
Well, let's talk about it. What happened next? Did somebody find you? Did you end up in the hospital?
So what I did was I did it around midnight so that nobody would find me. You know, I just wanted to do it and go to bed. And of course I did. And I woke up about 3 hours later, maybe four. And I felt so sick. I mean, I felt like I was dying. You know, I'd have blackouts and I would see not very kind images. And I was just hoping it would be over. It's like, just, I wanted this to just end. But I ended up being found around 6 or 7 in the morning. And then I was rushed to the emergency room. But by the time I got there, you know, the doctors said, there's almost nothing we can do because you took these pills so long ago. You know, there's nothing that can be done at this point. But if you want, they said, I guess we can pump your stomach, but there's probably nothing to do. So they put a tube down my throat. They pumped my stomach. They gave me activated charcoal in time frames regularly. They put me in a room, hospital room. And I remember a doctor walking in alone. He wanted to have a private conversation with me. And he just asked me, he said, look, I'm looking at the report here. It says that you took just shy of 1,000 pills. He said, I'd like you to tell me the truth. And I was like, really confused. I'm like, what do you mean the truth? He said, there's no way you took that many pills. And I'm like, well, you don't have to believe me, but I know what I did. And then I became curious. I said, why do you think that I didn't take these many pills? He said, because nobody could survive that. He said, it would have absolutely done a huge number on your heart and you shouldn't survive that. That's when I got kind of curious. I was like, damn, how did I survive this? Right? When he left, I remember there was these like beings of light by my bed. They were talking in unison with one voice, but I was trying to ignore them, of all things. I just was trying to ignore them. I didn't really want to think about it much, but they kept saying things like, you'll never do it again. You'll never do it again. You'll never do it again. You know, they repeated it like that over and over, almost like a mantra. And I would almost have like these visions, which I was trying to ignore. I was like, no, I'm not seeing anything. This is not happening. Basically, almost like I could feel my future and I could feel that I would never do it again. That was the last time. And I kept thinking that can't be true because I was already planning in my head that I was going to get out of there and plan it again. And then about a month, I was going to try again. I remember thinking to myself, you know, you guys are wrong. Whoever's talking, you're wrong. I know my head. I'm going to do this again. And that really shows you the difference between the head of the flesh, the brain, as compared to the spirit. And the truth is, the spirit won. Because the spirit was right. I never did ever try again. And they were absolutely correct. And everything they showed me was right. And so that was a big thing. And so I never did do it again. But I did find out after I left the hospital a few months later, something, a month, 2 months later, I did find out that I had caused myself to have severe heart damage. And so my heart was now all screwed up.
So let me just interject at that point, because most people, the first time that they hear your story, they're going to say, well, okay, where's the NDE in that? Where did you die and go over to the other side? I'm just going to say, be patient, it's still coming.
Yeah, because that wasn't when it happened. If anything, I just saw there's a path that is taken when you go to the other side. And the beginning of the path is actually always dark. Certain level of pain and reflection of life and different things. I saw that part, but that's all I saw when I did the pills. I just saw the darkness And so after that, I had this heart issue. And of course, I eventually saw a cardiologist. And the cardiologist told me, he's like, look, this is going to kill you. And he's like, you're only going to have so many years. He said, you should be dead in 10, maybe before. And he said, you know, we really probably need to do like surgery or, you know, we need to do something to try to fix your heart. But in my mind, I just thought, it's fine. Leave my heart alone. It'll be okay. And when I pass, I pass. For me, I wasn't afraid of it. It's sad to say this, but I was welcoming it. I'm like, okay, when it happens, it happens. You know, I'm not worried about it. So I kept living my life. But then this is where the NDE part comes in. It was completely random. I had a friend who was having a rough time. and him and then somebody else very close to me, the three of us were like, hey, let's just go and have a day out in nature. So we went for a drive. We stumbled upon this beautiful spot. It was actually kind of a secret spot. I was surprised we found it. Nobody could find this almost. And when we went in there, there was a canyon. And you literally have to climb down into this canyon. And then the canyon was a beautiful river with, you know, beautiful rocks and trees. And it was just such a great spot. And we could swim right there in the river. And so that's what we did. We went there to just hang out. It was a beautiful summer day and just have a beautiful day at the river. And that's what we were doing. We were just hanging out. We were having a good time. And it's hard for me to describe this part, Eric, but something kind of came over me. I felt like, one, it felt kind of weirdly peaceful, but I also felt like something was calling me. And I felt like being alone. I felt like I needed to be alone in order to, quote unquote, I guess, receive this call. I didn't really know what it was. I could just feel it. So I told the guys that I was with, I was like, look, guys, I'm really sorry to do this, but I think I want to spend a little alone time. You know, I didn't have any expectations. I had zero idea what was happening. I just felt like being alone, which is unusual, right? I wanted to have a good time with my friends. And so they understood. They kept doing whatever they were doing. And then I just started walking up the river because the river was, it was very long. There was a lot of space and area. You could walk for quite a while. So I just started walking. I just started walking up the river by myself and feeling this strange feeling of kind of peace. And I was trying not to think of anything. I was like, you know what? Just see what happens. Just go with it kind of thing. And I did. And I just kept walking up the river. And then eventually, for whatever reason, I don't even know how I chose it, there was this gigantic rock. And I called this day the day on the rock. That's what I call it now. And I sat on that rock and the water, the river was hitting really hard right down that spot. And it was so loud, the river, that if I were to look down the river, which I was very far away at this point, if I were to even able to see my friends, if I were to yell at them, they wouldn't even hear me. It was so loud. We were so far away and the river was very pronounced. And I just sat there and I just started kind of listening to the water, feeling this peaceful feeling, just kind of sitting there. And I decided to close my eyes. And as I closed my eyes, I started listening to the water almost like it almost became a little hypnotic. Like, you know, it's like you're listening to a mantra or something that's hypnotic. And the sound of the water, it started doing something. It reminds me of a scriptural verse that says, "And the voice of God is like the sound of many waters." This is where I really, in time, I learned the magic of water. And in time, it's going to be revealed to humanity. We have forgotten the magic of water and what it can really do for us and the many uses of it. And it's even its relationship to God, as crazy as all that sounds. And so as I listened to it, I decided to almost tell myself, you know what? Just don't think of anything. Like, try to clear your mind, almost like a meditation, right? So I just decided to like let all the worries, all the ideas, just let everything fade away. And I just was sitting in stillness. And as I did that, I started hearing my heartbeat. You know, when you're really silent, you can hear your own heartbeat. A lot of people have had that experience. And that's when I could hear my own heart being all screwed up because it would beat and it would just stop completely, almost like a flatline. And I remember feeling that as it flatlined, I was inching towards death. Or somewhere, I could feel it. And then all of a sudden it beat again. And it was doing this. And the longer that I was there, the longer these pauses of like death was happening. And so as that was happening, the door started to open to this, like it was a path of darkness. I don't know why I recall this, but there's a Bible verse. And before I keep going, I want people to know, I am not a Bible thumper. I don't study the scriptures. Honestly, I tried to read the Bible when I was younger and I was going through a lot of my suffering. It made no sense to me. I didn't understand it. I thought it was boring. I had zero interest in it. So that's why it's weird when you hear me bring up Bible verses, because I bring them up because they came to me instead of me looking for them. And so what happened was, now Bible verses says, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So I'm walking down it's like I'm literally traveling down this corridor of darkness and there's all these things that are trying to almost like get my attention or trying to tempt me with different things. But the premise of what I was doing was, I don't want to hear anything or anyone. I just want to be still for a moment. I just want a little peace, you know? And so I didn't pay attention to them. And as I didn't pay attention to them, I got deeper into this dark corridor. And then the deeper I got, this thing started getting ramped up. Then I realized something doesn't want me to go down this path. I could feel it. And it knew me so well. Whatever this dark entity was, knew me. It knew how to try to tempt you. And I could just feel it as I'm going down this dark corridor, and it continues to happen. And as I got really deep, that's when things got crazy, because this thing was noticing, I'm not getting to this guy. When I got deep, it pulled out the deepest fears I have. So somehow it knows my deepest fears. And it started showing these like bugs crawling all over me. And in fact, I saw when I finally reached the end of this dark path, which took a while, I saw my body laying on the earth. And then all these bugs start crawling all over me and crawling into my ears and my nose. And it's like, I wanted to freak and panic, but I knew somehow that that's what it wanted. So I just stayed calm. And I just was like, you know what? You want to take me? Take me. You want to threaten me? Just do it. I'm not going to fight. So I just went into that peace, and my whole body was covered with these different bugs and scorpions and snakes, just everything that's creepy, crawly, terrible. And then my whole body started like decomposing into the soil. So it started disappearing. I was sinking into the soil. And by the time my body was gone, everything just went dark. All of a sudden, everything's just black. And then it took about, I'm trying to really remember here, it took about 5, 10, 15 seconds, something along this. And then boom, just total bright light, totally blinding. Can't see a thing, totally white. And then all of a sudden, the light kind of just dies down ever so slowly. And it's a woman. Now, I say a woman. Let me clarify. This being of light doesn't have a sex. Okay? So I say woman because the vibe, the energy that was coming off of her was so female. It's like Mother Earth. We call it Mother Earth. We don't say Father Earth, right? It's an energetic thing.
Do you feel at this point like you have gone someplace? Like your spirit is out of your body. I mean, you were mentioning about your heart, and you told me the other day you could tell when it actually stopped.
Yes.
So, or do you feel like you were just in a meditative kind of state?
So this is what it felt like to me. Because my heart would stop so much, and just to keep me alive, boom, it would do the bare minimum to keep me alive. So I felt like I was between heaven and earth. Now, this is kind of going out of the timeline, but I forgot to mention it. When I had the thing happen to me as a child that I brought up, where the whole weird conversation with whoever was talking to me, my body got marked. And this is where things get really, really strange. My body got marked, but I didn't understand what it was. I got this mark that appeared on it's on my upper right leg. It's on my thigh. This thing appeared on my body after the incident that happened to me as a child. I didn't think anything of it. I never told anybody. I just had it on my body for a long time. I eventually showed my mom, I think I was in my early 30s when I shared it with her. I don't remember.
Did it ever go away?
No, it's still there. And eventually the spirit explained to me what it was. And that's kind of why I'm bringing it up, because the mark has to do with giving you, it's almost like, I don't want to call it like a pass. It's really weird to call it that, like a special pass or something that allows me to travel between heaven and earth. I know that sounds really odd. It's actually, of all places, it's in Chinese folklore. It's called the mark of the dragon. Because a dragon, what a dragon really is, I think people misunderstand. I know they look at it as a negative thing. A dragon is a serpent with wings. There's even people like Quetzalcoatl, which they call him the feathered serpent. And so I didn't understand any of this, though. All I knew is that this mark appeared. When I showed my mom, she's like, what the heck is that? You never had that. She said, you were a baby. I changed your diapers. I know your body, and you never had that. She's like, where did that come from? And of course, I explained to her, but my mom's like me. She's a skeptic, and I don't even think she believed it, but she saw it. She knows it's real. This whole thing that's happening where my heart is stopping, and I literally feel like I'm inching towards death, and then this bright light, and it's a being, the light is her clothing. So that's why it's so weird, because you can feel everything that she is. It comes from her heart and her soul. Her clothing is what personifies her heart. So what I'm saying is that the moment I was in front of her, I could feel everything about her. I could feel her infinite patience, her infinite compassion, this level of love. I mean, there is no human I've ever met that is at that level. And I think the majority of people, including myself, would have guessed that this was either God or some type of special angel. I mean, that would have been the guess, you know. But when I was in this place, I was trying to not think anything. Thoughts kind of disrupted everything. So instead, I was just like feeling it. And I didn't want to interject ideas, because I remember one thing that was whispered to me as I was going through the dark corridor was, let go of all your beliefs. Let go of all your preconceived notions. Let go of all your ideas, because only then will you see truth. Because otherwise, our ideas get in the way. We can self-manifest. Like, let's say I'm Buddhist and I really believe in Buddhism, and then I encounter Buddha, you know, and I'm like, okay, I kind of self-manifested. I didn't want to have any idea. And I still don't. I don't have any, I'm not religious. I don't have any beliefs in regards to that. But obviously, I don't just believe that God's there. I know he's there now. I mean, I met him, so I know it's real. But the point is that I'm before this being, and it was really strange, because once you're on the other side, you truly are naked. And what I mean by naked is, I'm not talking about clothing. On the other side, your heart is just totally exposed, completely naked. And so I'm standing there before her. And the very first thing I say, because when we speak here on this world, at least for me, I try to think before I speak, right? So I don't say anything weird, you know, because I do have Asperger's. And so sometimes I say things that upset people, but it's never my intention. I have to watch my thoughts before I speak. In this place, that's not the way it worked. In this place, it just came straight out of my heart, blurting out, didn't even get a chance to think about it. And it just told her, as I'm before her, I want to be like you. You know, that was the first thing that I remember ever came out of my heart. And I said it, I know why I said it, because deep in my heart, she was everything that I ever wanted in my life from the moment my suffering began. That 7 years old, 8 year old child. There's only one thing I wanted, Eric. I wanted to feel happiness. I wanted to be happy, because my suffering was so great and I didn't want anything else. And I knew that nothing could make me happy, as far as like fancy things, cars, clothes, money, houses. None of this could make me happy. This pain was just something else.
And you'd had it for so many years.
Yeah.
And was she relieving that pain for you?
It's not that she was relieving it. It was the being before her. I just knew somehow in my heart, this was everything I'd been looking for. It was everything I ever wanted. And so I just said it. I was like, I want to be like you. You know, I want to have that. I want to be like you. And I always remember her response, because she said, you are me and I am you. And immediately, because I'm such a skeptic, I immediately, not arguing with her, but I tried to point out to her. I was like, look at me. Because before her, my heart was exposed. Everything that I am, all my flaws as a human being. I just told her, I'm like, look at me. I'm not like you. She just said, you are me and I am you. I'm like, look at me. That's not true. Look at this flawed human. I am not like you. You are amazing. Look at me. You know? I was trying to show her, but it was so funny, because when she spoke truth, she never tried to defend herself after that. She never tried to argue back with me. Here I'm trying to point out to her my flaws, and it felt like she was saying, I spoke truth, and that's the end of it. Like, that's the end. There's no more conversation here.
Yeah, love that.
And so that happened. And then after I tried to point out all my flaws and she's not replying, she spoke her truth. And then I just wanted to be with her. It's almost like if you were just laying in the grass, you know, next to a dog that you love, and you're just being, you know, there's no need to talk. You just lay next to each other. Maybe the dog's leaning on you. I was just there with her, in her presence, almost in her arms a little bit. But I was just happy to be there, blown away by what's happening, but I didn't want to think. I just was like, I'm just going to be, let it be. And after spending so much time with her, she finally grabbed my hand. Like, she reached out her hand and I grabbed her hand and we started flying away. And that's when I really started feeling like I'm leaving my body. So the first part of the journey, it felt like I was going into my body. Like, I'm going to these depths and places. That one thing I've learned that I know for certain now, we have all these things inside of us that we don't know about. things that we haven't seen. You know, one of my favorite lines is, it's a long story, but this ancient woman was told a guy, she said, "This will show you that which is hidden from you." You know, it was this kind of line that I heard that I always liked, because things are hidden from us. There's things that we're not aware of. And anyway, once you go through all that, you can go to this other place. It's like dealing with your garbage before you can move on to a beautiful place. Like, you have to be almost purified of your darkness or something. So I'm with her. She grabs my hand. We start kind of floating off into outer space, like literally the cosmos. It's literally the heavens, outer space. And as we're going, I can see the earth disappearing. It's getting small and we're leaving. And then, boom, I feel like a string or a rope that just stops. And I felt all my attachments. I felt all the people I love, you know, family members, friends, all these what we would call attachments. And I could feel them all. And the attachment was love. I could feel the love. I didn't feel attachments to like a car or a house or a bank account. I felt attachments that had everything to do with love. And when I felt that moment, so much happened in that moment, because it felt like I wanted to go back. The love was drawing me back. And it was difficult, because here I've been suffering all my life, or at least the majority of it. And now I feel all this love and I want to run back to all these people. And not only that, the biggest attachment was to this body. So this body, like the idea of who this is, you know, like your date of birth, your social security number, whoever you think that you are, right? This character in this movie or whatever. I felt those attachments. And again, I wanted to go back, and I felt so much love in this place that I was like, oh my God, I want to go back to my loved ones. And then I had to remind myself, and this was really difficult, because my suffering had to be so high just to have a chance. And I told myself, dude, what are you thinking? You're thinking, you want to go back? Don't you remember? Don't you remember? Did you forget you wanted this? You wanted to leave your suffering. That's all you've ever done is suffer. And now you're feeling all this love. You want to go back. And I was just like, that's right. Like, snap out of it. In my heart, I wanted to go back. But I forced myself to make a decision at that moment. And it wasn't easy, because I didn't feel suffering at that moment. So it was hard. But I made a really hard decision, like a hard stop, and said, you know what? I really want to go back, but I don't ever want to suffer like that anymore. It's really hard for me to do this, but this is a one in a lifetime opportunity. I'm about to finally leave. So I let it all go. It was really hard. I let go of my family. I let go of my body. I just let go of everything. And then once I made that decision, she took me. And then as we traveled, I learned a lot of things, because one of the things that I didn't know is that stars are like doorways. I think that's why they call them star gates, because a door or a gate is the same thing. It's like an entrance. And that's when we went to the first star. We went to a star, and the moment we went through it, oh my goodness, Eric, the speed, just boom, we just started traveling at a ridiculous speed. I can't even begin to explain to you how fast we were going. And Earth was long gone. Like, we are, see you later, we are super far. And then we'd hit another star, and then boom, we'd head off in a different direction. And then when we reached another one, boom, another direction. And we were just traveling the stars. And it was so much speed, so far away. And then I remember starting to think to myself, you know what? I'm never going to find my way back. It wasn't actually thinking. I could feel it. I'm like, I'm lost out here. Like, I don't know where we're at. I don't know where we're going. And I'll tell you one thing, there's no way I'm going to find my way back. And I knew that. And at that point, I just kind of surrendered. I'm like, I'm never coming back. I really thought I was never going to come back. I thought I was officially dead. My body was long gone. You could cut my arm, I wouldn't have felt it. You know, it wouldn't have mattered. So I'm traveling to the stars with her, and quite a while. I mean, at that speed, we were traveling a good 5-10 minutes. And that was a lot for those type of speeds. The one weird part that's a little tricky for me to understand, we're together, right? This being and I, this being of light. And in time, it felt like we were merging. So by the time I arrived, in fact, this is really odd. I'll show you a weird picture that really is odd, and I'll explain more about it later. But notice this picture, because I always wonder who in the heck drew this. Because this is a lot of what I saw. It was a lot like this. But notice that there's a being with the person, and notice that there's a little crown of light, like implying that this person is a being of light. And so this person's traveling with me. They're not just traveling with me, they're taking me. And we arrive to this place, and everything just, boom, stops. Now it's also like stillness, you know, complete peace. And we arrive to what I call a council. There are literally these beings in a circle. The moment I arrived, they spoke to me with one voice. It wasn't like people talking over each other. It was like truly just one voice. And they said, "We've been waiting for you." And when they said it, as they said it, "We've been waiting for you," all this rush of information was presented to me, showing me that they've known who I was for a very long time. They've been following since even before I was born. They planned, it was a whole plan of me being conceived, me coming into planet Earth, and they knew who I was. There's this whole plan. And they're showing me all this. But all I can remember is, I remember feeling this strange feeling of like, I felt bad because it felt like, I don't know why it felt like a dinner, but this is the best example I can use. It's as if somebody had prepared a wonderful meal for you or a dinner, and you're supposed to go to their house at 5 p.m. or whatever, but you never knew. Nobody told you. So if nobody told you there's dinner, you didn't even go to this random person's house. And it felt like they were waiting practically almost, I don't want to say an eternity, but they've been waiting all my life. And I didn't even know they were there waiting for me. So I felt bad. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that you were waiting for me. You know, I didn't know this. So I had that weird feeling. And here's the part where some people get really upset. They said something else to me. And people tell me I shouldn't even bring it up, but I want to be accurate to what happened.
And I want you to be honest. We talked about this a lot the other day. And I know you're being honest. So please just go ahead.
So they said one more thing to me, which was really just for me. And that's the reason that I don't really share it. And I do think it actually would upset people, but it doesn't matter. It wasn't for them, it was for me. So they said one other thing. And then after that, I'm just here before them. And that angel being is like, it's like she's still with me kind of, but it also felt like she was integrated into me. So I was a little confused, but I wasn't thinking about it much. I was just before this council. And each one of them felt like they had lived a life. So these counsel to me felt like they were beings that wanted to do God's will. That's what it felt like. It did not feel like normal lives. And so the first one had already lived a life, had fulfilled whatever it is that they were supposed to do, some type of thing that had to do with God's will. And then once he was done, which he was now there placed on this, like, not on a shelf, but on this council. A lot like that thing behind you, actually, like that circle that's behind you. Which is just a steering wheel to a boat, but it was like that. And so that was the first one. And then the second one, same thing. And all these beings that had come to life and done a certain work that they were supposed to do, this has all been going on for thousands of years. So this is not something, there's a big, grand master plan, right? I don't know all the details of it. I only knew pieces of it. Now all these beings are there and there was one slot left. It was implying to me somehow that it's almost finished. We are almost done with this plan that he's had for so long. In that one spot, this is hard for me to say, but it felt like I was supposed to be in that spot. Like that's why they were waiting for me. They're waiting for me to finish something that has been going on for a very long time. And then, this is right before I get to meet, quote unquote, the Almighty or God, one of them starts making a sound. So it sounds like, I can't mimic it, but it was kind of like, bleh. And then the next one goes, meow, meow. And they all start making these different sounds, and the sounds are interjecting with each other. And as the sounds interject with each other, it creates a whole other sound that you can't even fathom. But it's really deep, extremely deep sound. And the closest thing that you would say is it sounds like Om. But it wasn't Om. It was so much more profound than that. Nothing that you could hear with the naked ear. But as they're doing this, it's opening up a door right in the center of all of them. And I could feel a great sense of almost honor because they were each making a sacrifice to open this door. As they opened it, they can't go through it. So another dumb example that I can think of is if you were to get a bunch of strong men and a rubber band and they're all putting their hands in it and they're all trying to pull to open up like this circle so you could jump through it, but nobody who's holding it could jump through. Does that make any sense, Eric?
Yeah, I think I'm catching on.
So they're opening this thing and I could feel that they were doing it for me. They didn't say a word. I just felt it like they were telling me, go ahead, like walk through. It was almost instinctual. I didn't think about it. I just walked through and I just felt very grateful that they were doing this and it felt like such a great opportunity or whatever it was. And I walked through. And the moment I walked through, the whole thing is left behind me as far as whatever I was dealing with, whatever. I am walking into this place, and that's when I met God in just in all his amazing glory. But it's, he is the source of all things. He didn't speak a lot, very few words. Everything was mostly quote unquote, oh, I guess you could call it telepathic. But the first thing I'll say is that he was absolutely massive. It is so big, you can't even fathom the size of it. You know, you could stand before a mountain, you could stand before the sun, and not even close. So he was really big. And I should say also, he doesn't have a sex. He's definitely not human-like. The reason I call him he, just like the reason I called the angel a she, was because his energy was very male. Very, very, very male. And very heavy-handed. You could feel, it reminds me of a scriptural verse that says that he will rule with an iron rod. His law, there is no breaking his law. There is no bending his law. His law is the law, you know, like the law of the land. Or, you know, it's kind of like if you had one of those fathers that, you know, you walk in the house, it's a little kid or something, and he is the law, you know, and if whatever your father says goes, that's what goes, you know. He was really huge. Now, what was more interesting about it was not so much what he looked like, actually. It's what he moved like and what he sounded like. And I can talk about what he looked like, but that wasn't the most prominent thing because he moved like a river. He looked like a gigantic cosmic river, but it was so many colors in the river, stars and colors and reds and blues. And even the background was actually kind of black, like the universe. You know, when you look up at the stars, the background is black, and he's flowing like a river. And again, a lot of this stuff was very instinctual. I literally start walking right into him. And it looked like probably like a scene out of a movie because it looks like I'm walking into a river. And I'm just walking into him up until I'm probably about to my waist deep. I decided to lay in him. So I just opened my arms and I just laid back as if, ironically, it looks a lot like baptism. I think that there's a reason that they baptize in a river. Honestly, I think the river and the wind are the closest things that you'll ever see to look like God. And that's what he does. He washes things away, you know, but he also carries knowledge and wisdom. There's so when I laid in him, the amount of information, I can't even begin to comprehend this, Eric. Every nanosecond, forget every second, every nanosecond, you'd have millions, if not billions, of the most brilliant ideas, most wisest things that you've ever heard, just flowing. So it's kind of like if you were to stick your head into the internet and all the information that's flowing through the internet, it's too much for anybody to grasp, right? But I could feel it.
Like we say, we don't have the bandwidth for it to get downloaded that fast, right? You were just getting too much. You couldn't even process it, shall we say. So this is an unusual explanation of God. I find it fascinating and really interesting. What do you say to people that just can't comprehend it because they have their own, you know, here's what I think God should look like or God should be like or move like or the size or the whatever, because you talked about how he moved and how big he is and things like that. How do you find that people deal with that?
Well, look, I mean, like anything, Eric, before that ever happened to me, I mean, I had no clue. I literally had no clue what God would look like. I mean, I had ideas. I'll tell you one thing. All my ideas were shattered because it didn't fall into anything that I'd ever thought before. In fact, to be honest with you, I didn't even recognize him. I didn't know it was God at first. I had no idea what was happening, but I didn't think it was him. It took me some time to figure it out. And what's really crazy, I thought to myself, somebody has had to have gone through this before. It can't just be me. So I would look in places, I would read in books, I was trying to find something and I couldn't. And the story about how I found it is so weird. But without going into the story due to some time limits, this book, which a lot of people think it's nonsense, and I myself would have thought this was absolute nonsense, okay? It's supposed to be a book that a guy translated from the hidden archives of the Vatican. It has stories about Jesus that you've never heard. Some of them are in there from the Bible, but other stuff you've never heard. The only reason I bring up this book is because at the very, very end of the book, Jesus starts describing the other side and God. I couldn't believe it. This is it. He describes exactly what I saw. He describes the sound. He describes it so beautifully, so poetically. Even the beginning of it, he calls it the holy streams, because it's like water. It's like streams of water. And he describes God so perfect. And what's so hilarious, because he uses the exact same words I used. And I never saw this book till many years after the fact.
What's it called, by the way?
It's called The Essene Gospel of Peace. And the key word is peace, because remember, Jesus didn't go around saying, God be with you. He went around saying, peace be with you. And it was peace that gets you to these places. And everything that robs you of peace only pulls you farther away from God. So when he's describing them, if you didn't know any better, you're reading this thinking, okay, this is odd. And then at the very end of this beautiful paragraph, he says, for this is God, if you did but know it. Because you wouldn't even know, because your ideas have gotten in the way of the reality of what he is. Now, granted, everything is born of him. So when I was there, everything that's in our existence, every tree, every herb, every animal, everything is born of him. Life itself, everything that's alive, he's in everything that's alive. That's a simple fact. He is in everything that's alive. So when I got to him and I'm laying in him, massive amount of information, which I knew I couldn't grab, because if I did, it would all kind of fade away and disappear. So I either could grab one golden nugget, or I just let all his glory flow through me. And so I just let all his glory flow through me. I'd rather just have him and not remember it. I just decided to go with it. And it was so much information. But the weird thing about his information was that it was only answers. So everything was an answer to whatever question. So if I were to even grasp one of these golden nuggets, I would have to really figure out what the question is, because an answer makes no sense unless you know the question. I could give you 6.2357. Oh, that's a brilliant answer. But what's the question, right? I don't even understand the answers. And so he was nothing but answers. And I remember he spoke to me at that moment, because I was thinking like, this is nothing but answers, and it doesn't make any sense to me, but I can feel the wisdom, I can feel the brilliance in it. And then that's when he spoke. He says, there are no questions here, only answers. That's what he said. And that's all he was. He was a river of answers, and all you have to do is figure out the right question. But he was nothing but answers. He was nothing but light. He was nothing but just crazy amounts of information you can't even begin to fathom. You can never, bigger than the internet, and the internet's huge. It's like a grain of sand compared to how enormous God is, and the source of everything that comes from him.
I've got to ask you this, and think about it for a second if you want to before you answer. And that is, how are you feeling in God's presence? Because you've mentioned peace, you've mentioned knowledge, and a lot of other words. I haven't heard you say fear. I haven't heard you say love. I haven't heard a lot of other things. So I'm curious, dig deep. What were you really feeling?
Yeah, made me cry with this one. I knew when I was a kid and I was feeling that emptiness and that pain, I just felt instinctively, I don't know how I knew this, I just knew that he was the only thing that could quench that thirst or make that pain subside. And when I was with him, I didn't feel empty anymore. I just had my father back. I just wanted to be with him. I just missed him. I was shown a lot of things. I was shown how he had chosen me for this. Apparently I volunteered. I didn't even know any of this stuff. Apparently I volunteered to come to Earth. I came here to want to do something actually for him, something that would carry out his will on Earth. I didn't even realize that's why I went through all the suffering. Of course, that was a question I had for him at some point. I got to ask, why did he not help me as a child when I used to pray to him and ask for help? I was really shocked when he said, well, I was there, and he showed me visions of him watching over me as a child. But then he said, and I'm asking, why didn't you help me with this pain? And he said, I allowed it. And I am shocked by that, because I'm like, what are you talking about? You allowed it. I'm asking you for help to stop it. You're telling me you allowed it? But I was very confused, because I'm like, he didn't cause it. He allowed it. So then I'm like, who caused this? And then, of course, I realized and saw that I had chosen a certain path before I was born. I chose it. because the suffering that one goes through opens up the door to realizing what's truly important. If you always have your health, and if you're always happy, and you're in this life, well, you get sucked into life like, okay, yeah, I want to get a family and build a house and get a job and get a mortgage and get this cool car that I like and hang out with my friends. You get lost in life. But it's the suffering that begins to show you that none of that technically really matters. There's something so much bigger than that. That's why there's a verse in scripture that says, he who lets go of his life shall have it. He who holds on to his life shall lose it. Because we forget what's important, like truly important in life. I didn't realize that the suffering would open a door that would lead me to him. And that's what he told me. He said, I allowed it because he said, had I not allowed it, he said, you would have never found me. It's the suffering that led me to him.
What did you learn about your relationship with him?
Just that I love him a lot and that he has a very big plan that we can't really completely fathom and understand. And that this is not for nothing and the suffering won't be forever, but there's a purpose behind our suffering and free will and free choice. I mean, most of our suffering comes from our own choices. We're the ones causing most of this. And we hurt each other so much and it's very sad. But he does love us a great deal.
Did you realize that you used the term father?
Yeah, because he feels like that. I told you, it feels like a male, a very strong, like you're walking into a house that's his. And he has certain rules and we need to learn them. But yeah, he is my father in heaven when we're all his children. We're all brothers and sisters here, Eric.
All right, what happened next?
So I just spent a lot of time with him and all this information was flowing and flowing. And I spent at least an hour, maybe two, something like that. I mean, I was there quite a while. And later on, I found out from one of the people who was on that trip with me. It's actually my brother. One of them was my brother. The other one was a good friend of mine. And my brother had told me that they saw me in the distance sitting on this rock. And they're like, dude, you were there for hours. At some point, we thought, is he dead just sitting there? Like, they thought there was something wrong because it's just not normal. And I'm here in this other place laying in not God's arms. It wasn't arms. I was laying in his river and his waters, you know, I was with him. And I could feel the information almost, I don't want to say being downloaded, but it felt like it was going in me somewhere and being stored in me somewhere. I could just feel it. And I went with that because I didn't want to ruin it by thinking anything. And after quite a while, all of a sudden, I could hear in the faint distance, the sound of the running water. I was on that rock. I was next to the river. I faintly heard the water still. And I remember feeling like my body was, I was very much disconnected from it. Again, you could cut my arm off and I knew I wouldn't feel it. But I thought to myself, can I open my eyes? And I decided to try. And I opened them very slowly and very little. And you have to remember that all my life, or at least the majority of it, not only was I in pain and suffering, but everything looked terrible to me. I couldn't see the beauty in anything. I couldn't see the beauty in the mountains, the sky, the flowers, like everything looked ugly to me in my suffering. And when I opened my eyes ever so slowly, it's the first time I saw the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is within you, but it's all around you. You know, it's literally anything that's alive. And I opened my eyes and I could see somehow, I don't know how it's all happening, but I could see God's light in all things. I could see it in every rock. I could see it in the river itself. I could see it in the wind. I could see it in every little bug, every tree, every bird. It was absolute beauty. And in my heart, I just knew. I was like, this is heaven on earth. This is it. It is here. I realized very quickly that our eyes are truly closed. We're not awake right now. Humans are definitely asleep. That's why they're so lost and confused, because they don't know their Father in heaven. They don't know the truth. They're just guessing. They're guessing on their religions. They're guessing on their beliefs. They're guessing about everything. There's very little that humans know. Once in a while, they feel a little this, feel a little that, get a little intuition, a little inspiration. But for the most part, we're blind. And not only are our eyes closed, our ears too. And I open my eyes and just see this absolute beauty. But I also could hear God's voice. It's a sound. And it was everywhere. It was literally everywhere. You couldn't pinpoint where it was at. It was coming from everything that was alive. Every tree, every leaf, the water, the wind, everything. underneath me, above me. It was everywhere. And my mind, it's the first time in my life that I ever felt this, I felt like I had two brains. So I had one brain out in the cosmos with God, and the other one was here in this body. So I was literally in two places at one time, which is a very strange thing to describe. And all I remember was that I don't think anything. The brain has to stay still, because the moment you start using your brain, I could just feel it kind of fades away. And I'm like, oh, don't fade away. I won't think anything. I promise you, just stillness. I think it's a lot like a lake of water. When the lake goes still, it becomes like a mirror. And the mirror is what allows you to be able to see the heavens, to be with God and a lot of things. Now, granted, to get to God too, there is a few issues, because he's guarded. So you first have that angel or whatever, the being of light, this council. They don't just let you in. There seems to be, I know with me, that they had to check my heart, meaning they had to look at what my true intentions are, what's inside of me, who I am. They don't just let you in. And I don't know why, but that's just the process. And as I'm there, I just turned my head ever so slightly, and my brother from extremely far away, he turned his head too at the exact same time. And I just raised my hand, and I kind of waved at him to come over. And as he was walking to me, I could feel his thoughts. So it was really weird. I could feel people's thoughts, and it disrupted my thoughts. So here I'm trying to be in stillness, but his thoughts were going to disrupt my mind. So the moment he arrived to me, I always remember telling him, I said, brother, if you want to learn something, now's the time. And if you don't, it's fine. I won't repeat myself. I'll let it go. And we can just go play in the river and have a wonderful day. And he said, and my brother's a curious guy, very open-minded. So he was like, okay, yeah, sure. I want to learn something. What's going on here? You've been sitting here for hours. Thought you were dead. All I said to him was, I want you to try to listen. That's all I want you to do. Just listen. So he sat next to me on that rock, and he was just trying to listen. And he must have been there for 20 to 30 minutes. I mean, he tried really hard. And he finally reached the point where he kind of looked at me. He's like, you know what? I don't know what's going on with you. And everything seems kind of weird. You're sitting on this rock, and now you want me to listen to something, but I don't hear anything. So he was like, he gave up. He's like, you know what? I'm going to go play at the river. You do whatever you want to do. So he goes to stand up. And this is another thing about God that's very interesting. When you're connected to him, he's like the wind. He's unpredictable. It's just like flowing, and then boom, does this, does that, like whatever he wants to do. Well, the moment my brother went to stand up, my arm just boom went out and grabbed him by the wrist really fast and really hard. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? And I'm just observing everything. Remember, I don't want to think anything. I'm just letting it happen. And I start squeezing his wrist pretty hard. And I start squeezing it really hard, 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 to the point where I thought I was going to break his arm. And I felt like I had infinite strength. And I'm like, what in the world is going on here right now? And then that's when he really turned, and he looked straight into my eyes. And I could feel like I could see right through him. I've never seen anything like that. I could see right through him. I could see his soul. I could see everything. When we made that connection in the eyes, and he was about to tell me to stop, he told me later, he's like, I was about to tell you, you're hurting me. You're about to hurt me. It wasn't me. And I felt almost bad that I did it and that it happened, but I did it. I spoke with a very intense voice, and I just said, can't you hear it? Because he was trying to listen for the sound, and he just couldn't hear it. And the moment I said it, boom, the sound just blah, I got huge. And my brother just froze, because he heard it then. And his vision went dark, and he saw all his sin, he said. This is literally him saying this. He goes, I saw all my darkness, all my sin. He said, it terrified me, and I knew the price was death. And he said that he literally tried to run. He went to go try to run and his foot to get off the ground, and then God spoke. He rarely spoke, and he said, there is no place you can run to. There is no place you can hide, no rock you can't crawl under. And my brother just stood there. I knew that he was in utter panic, and he's just frozen. And then that's when I spoke to him. I said, brother, he's not going to hurt you. Don't be afraid. And my brother told me to this day, he said, I heard your voice. And it felt like everything was just darkness. He goes, I didn't know where I was at anymore. He goes, I heard your voice say that. And he said, I turned, and you were there. And I was trying to tell him not to be afraid because he was so afraid. That's when my brother said, "What is it?" See, he didn't recognize God either. So different in any idea we had. And I didn't even bother putting words to it because I didn't want to try to create an idea like, oh, this is this. Even the word God, I don't like it. But I just said, "I don't know." I didn't want to put words to it. And then my brother just sat and calmed down, because calmness fears. And it reminds me of another scriptural verse where these guys were before God, and in the Bible it says, and they trembled before his might. That was my brother. He trembled before his might. And on top of it, I believe there's another verse that had to do with those guys that met God that literally told, I believe, Moses. They said, "Hey, Moses, we don't want to see God anymore. Can we just, we don't want to see him. Can you just go and find out what he wants and just tell us?" That's how badly people didn't want to be before him, because he sees right through you. And I know people may think, "Oh, I want to be before God. It can be all fun and games." It wasn't. It was very, very difficult to face the truth about yourself, because that's what he's going to show you. He's a light that you've never known, and he penetrates right through you. Everything you, there is no hiding. There's no hiding when you're in front of him. And so people panic, just like my brother panicked. After he calmed down, we're both sitting there, and I didn't want to say anything about what I saw or hearing. I wanted my brother to say as a confirmation, because I'm such a doubter. I'm like, is this even happening? But I'm just letting it all happen. I told my brother, I'm like, "So do you hear it?" And my brother said, "Oh yeah, I hear it." And I said, "What does it sound like?" And he started trying to mimic the sound. It was like, like he was trying to really mimic the sound. And he's pretty good at that. And I was like, "Yeah, that's right." And he would follow the rhythm of the sound. So as he's mimicking it, he's following the rhythm, because the sound is with us at this point. God is with us. So he's mimicking it. And I'm like, "Okay, I know he's hearing it, and I'm hearing it too." And then he's giving us visions, both of us. We're sitting right there. And then all of a sudden I can see things. And I'm looking at my brother like, "Can you see what I'm seeing? Because I don't want to say it. I want you to say it to confirm what I'm seeing." And my brother's like, "Yeah, I see mountains." And this is another part where God spoke again. There was three mountains, and in those mountains, you could see the face of, like, it looked like old wise men with white beards. The snow was the white beards. It was really kind of odd. And God spoke and he said, "This is where I reside." And I thought it was really weird, because I logically, I'm like, "You reside at the mountains? I don't get it. Like, if I were to climb a mountain, I don't think you'd be there." I was very confused. I'm just trying to say what I witnessed. And so he said, "This is where I reside." And that's what he said. And he showed us these mountains. And I'm just asking my brother if he's seen the same thing. And he said, "Yeah, like, we're all, this whole thing is happening to the both of us at this point, because somehow we're connected." And then after all that, we just sat there with him. Like, again, you're just being with him. And oh, I remember this was kind of funny, actually. My brother's like listening to the Almighty, and he's looking around, and he kind of looks at me, and he's like, "Brother, where is it coming from?" He said, I can't tell where it's coming from. It's coming from everything. It's like omnipotent. It's coming from every single, from every little bug to a big tree. And he's looking around and he's like, "I don't get it." And he looks at me and he goes, "I don't get it. Where is it? Where is this sound coming from?" And then again, God takes over my body, because he keeps doing these things. And I just look at my brother and I lean my head back and I open my mouth really big. And the sound just gets really loud. And my brother's looking at me and he's like, "Oh my God, it's coming from inside of you." It was as if when you connect to him within, it connects you to everything that's alive, everything that's of him. Once you find them inside, you find them outside. You don't feel empty anymore. You feel, yeah, there's no more emptiness. It was just weird. And so this happened. We just spent time with him for quite a while. And then eventually my brother, so with his voice, with the sound of God, comes like a consciousness. It's very strange. It's hard to describe. But again, it's like a river. It's like a wind. It's like, I can't describe, because he just comes and goes and does whatever he wants. You know, it's just like hard to describe how this all happens. And then my brother was like, "I don't know why, but I feel like I can fly. I feel like I can ascend with the sound. The sound is doing something to us. I could feel it too." He's like, "Let's fly." So we sit down back to back on the rock, and kind of go into a meditative state. We just close our eyes and we just sat there. But my brother's mind was so busy. I could feel his mind so busy, and it was keeping us from being able to ascend. No peace. And so he's doing this, and he must have tried for about maybe again another 20, 30 minutes. And he finally stopped and he's like, dude, I just can't. He goes, I can't seem to take off. And yet I feel like I can with his voice and his presence. It almost draws you to him. And so my brother finally gave up. We sat there longer, just enjoyed just being there with him in absolute awe. And then after that, we eventually went and we did in the plane in the river. I actually have, ironically, he has a little bit of video footage of that day of us being at the river and swimming. And I remember really getting connected to nature in a way that I never had. And I was swimming with the fish, moving just like the fish are. And the fish was a huge part of it. There's something about the way that they moved. They moved like in a frequency, like a rhythm. And I was just enjoying it. And I got in that water and did what I kind of felt like was my own little baptism there, you know, right in the river that day. And I've never been the same since. And he has been with me ever since then. He has shown me a lot of things. It's been a really rough road, but because I eventually, it was really odd. I had already had a lot of medical issues, even on that day. And they got a lot worse in time. And he just gives me massive amounts of information all the time. And I don't even write them down. They're all in my heart. I don't even know how, people who know me, very few who I've shared this with, including my brother, says things like, I don't know how you remember any of this stuff. And I said, well, I don't really have it memorized. I know it by heart.
Part of you. So that day on the river, you got that confirmation that I alluded to earlier through your brother was the confirmation. Best day ever.
Yeah.
I had about 50 questions I wanted to get to, and I know you don't have time. I'd love to circle back sometime and do them.
Yeah, we can do a part two. And there's only one last thing I'll say about this before we go. When I was before his presence, I literally felt all the doubt that was in my body, which I didn't even know I had, even down to the depth of my bones. All my doubt went away. I've never doubted anymore. I know he's real. I've seen him. I've met him. I know he's real. I know he's waiting for us. I know that there's a path. I know there's a plan, and he's definitely real. It's just a matter of people's beliefs. You know, everybody has their beliefs, you know, whether it's religious beliefs, political beliefs, everybody has their beliefs. But I do think he's very different than the majority of what people even believe.
There was so much to Greg's NDE that I barely had time to ask any questions. So we're bringing him back for a part two, where we dive even deeper into his experience through a question and answer session. I hope you'll join us then, but for now, if you haven't already hit that follow or subscribe button, now is the time to do it. One other big thank you is to everyone who's been donating to the show. You know who you are, and we appreciate you so very much. For anyone else who wants to help us continue to put out this kind of quality content, head on over to roundtripdeath.com and look for that itty-bitty donate button in the upper right-hand corner. And while you're there, sign up for the email newsletter to be the first to know when part two of this episode and all other episodes go live. Until then, I wish you everything good that you're looking for in this life and the next.